moved to the UK when I was about 4 years old. Me, mum, dad, and younger brother, and basically pretty normal childhood, kind of like middle class family, and everything was pretty standard and normal. And until I was about 7, 8 years old, and my younger brother, who was about 18 months younger than me, he started getting headaches, and kind of thought it was normal at first, little illness or whatever, and ended up taking him to the hospital, and he got quite quickly diagnosed with cancer, and unfortunately, 6 weeks later, he died, and it was quite a harrowing experience for the family, and basically, we didn't deal with it very well, to kind of put it in simple terms, and a lot of brokenness came out of that. I can't go into everything, but basically, I saw my parents, and how they reacted to that situation was, let's not deal with it. So I saw them trying to escape reality at all costs, a lot of the time through excessive drinking. Used to quite regularly see my dad, you know, drunk at 9 a.m. And that's kind of the model for life that I adopted from a young age. And the kind of name of the game for me throughout my childhood, teenage years and adult life was escape reality at all costs. And when I was younger, that really took the form of excessive technology use. So I'm Gen Z by 15 days, kind of a leader in the Gen Z technology addiction area, and so really obsessive uses of technology to just escape reality. And so that was kind of the MO until I was in my late teens, and then I discovered drugs and alcohol, and that starts the next chapter, but I don't know if you want to
slide. Yeah, I guess thanks for being sort of straight away honest with us about some of these difficult things, particularly around the area of grief. And tell us more about how did you cope with those difficulties, as you've mentioned. How are you coping? And I guess as you sought those things as a way of coping, what were you hoping might change through that? How are you hoping these things would help change your experience of these difficulties?
Yeah, I didn't come from a Christian family. Parents are not Christian, never went to church. Church was not really something that was on my radar, so there was kind of no, I couldn't plug those experiences into a wider story or narrative that helped me to deal with them. And I think realistically, when you go through a situation like that, you kind of just learn to cope with it from a young age as a young child, and those coping mechanisms just never leave you. So really, it was about, it was kind of wired into me that if there's painful experiences, uncomfortable experiences, don't face them. And yeah, that was kind of projected on many other areas of life as well.
Yeah. And so where else did you go after that then? Sort of, you've talked about a bit of technology involved in that, and then you sort of teed up, there was an experience of typically misuse of drugs and alcohol. Again, how were you using that to cope with difficulties, and what were you hoping out of those things?
Yeah, well, I think it wasn't like I was consciously going to these things and being like, oh, okay, well, I'm in a lot of pain and shame and guilt from these things that were happening, and therefore, if I consume this drink, then I will feel better about that, or I will. It's very like, it's quite an unconscious thing that you just do. You're kind of living these behavior patterns unconsciously. So, ultimately, I was able to escape a lot of the pain that I still carry from, you know, not really dealing with these experiences. And but when I was in my late teens, that's really when I turned to kind of drugs and alcohol, started smoking weed every day, drinking a lot. And I remember kind of in my gap year, I went out to Asia and was there for like 100 days and probably like near blackout drug, 95 of them. Like, it was quite serious drinking addictions, and that turned to every drug under the sun. I kind of remember being at university and in my second term, just barely going in, really, in the first year, drinking, drugs, women, debauchery, that kind of lifestyle. But during this whole season of this kind of addictions, I always wanted to change. Like, I knew this wasn't good for me. I knew that I was like, I can't keep doing this. But time and time again, I just kept coming back. And, you know, I probably said, just use weed as an example, I probably said, this is my last joint 1,000 times, literally, but it never was.
And we've teed up with our big question of, can self-help save us? Talk us through your journey of then actually getting into the self-help route. Again, what were you hoping that might bring you? What did you experience and find with that?
Yeah, so it kind of got to the point when I was about 20 years old, and I've just had enough. I was like, something needs to change. And like any good Gen Z, when I encountered a problem in my life, I went to YouTube for the solution and kind of tried to find out, okay, what's going on here. And all of the solutions that were presented to these issues were things like meditation, therapy, yoga, kind of self-help. And I basically fell in love with that. I was, you know, doing things like going on my phone less or exercising better, eating better, and I was experiencing some kind of superficial improvements. I was feeling better, I could communicate better, etc. Had less anxiety from making these basic changes. So I kind of saw the fact that I went from a 0 or 1 out of 10 in terms of wellness to like a 3 or a 4, and was like, okay, well this will take me to a 10. And that was the assumption I had, and really that kind of sparked a 5-year journey of becoming absolutely obsessed with kind of modern psychology, combined with ancient wisdom, meditation, yoga, psychotherapy, that kind of wellness worldview. And thousands of hours literally were spent, and thousands of pounds trying to heal myself with those ideologies.
And tell us more about sort of where that then led to you. How did that work out for you? And where you feel that it perhaps didn't work, why was that?
Yeah, so, you know, these kind of methodologies, you know, being really obsessed with exercise or kind of meditation and kind of starting to be more aware of your body and your breath and cold showers and, you know, all these different things, it's not like that's completely worthless, has no value at all. Like, you do feel better to a degree and you can, you know, focus better or you can feel better and you have better control over your emotions. Kind of not denying that, but you know, I guess what I would find is that I'd make this period of significant progress, and then I just kept going back to the same heart states, the self-destructive habits that even though there was some improvement, I kept going down, back down, and it just seems like the pits that I would get in, especially with addiction, were darker and darker. So it's almost like through the use of therapy and some of the wellness techniques, I kind of mapped out, okay, this is potentially what's wrong with me. I had this experience in my childhood. I have developed this kind of emotional response to pain. And so the map was there. The mental image was there. But my heart just wasn't changing. These emotions were not shifting. And I couldn't for the life of me understand why that was.
I can imagine after putting in a lot of hard work and effort there to keep finding yourself back down at the bottom and feeling like it is that deep-rooted issue of something in the heart, it must be quite hard to know where to go next. Where did you then turn, feeling like self-help wasn't helping, wasn't working, wasn't saving you from this deep-rooted issue? Where did you go next?
Yeah, I probably didn't go anywhere next. It wasn't like a conscious thing, I think, this next season of my life. But basically, you know, for 5 years I was deep into that. But I truly believed that kind of wellness worldview would save me and it would improve me. And I'd kind of be delivered on some of these issues. And basically, what introduced me to the next phase of my life, which was the Christian phase, was a kind of mentor in my life. He was very into the self-help industry and, you know, he was kind of training me to be a mentor, making money with life coaching, that type of thing. And he actually became a Christian. And, like, during this whole season, I believed in God. I was kind of like this really spiritual guy, obviously, and, you know, going to all these retreats, etc., etc. But he started talking about Jesus. And I, during this entire time of searching, the idea that the Christian faith could be a solution or true or the Bible would work was like a bit of a joke. It wasn't something that ever entered my mind. It was so off my radar. But he mentioned the Bible and I kind of thought, okay, great, another self-help tool to put in the arsenal, kind of let's try on this one. And started looking more into the Bible, its history, etc., etc. And it wasn't until I started reading the Bible that I truly realized that I had this kind of assumption about who Jesus was, but the person who I encountered in that book was very, very different. And basically, everything kind of good, redeemable in the self-help industry I found perfected in Jesus Christ. And yeah, and also I was really attracted to what the Bible says about sin as well, in a funny way. in the self-help industry, in a lot of that kind of modern psychology, especially the more recent stuff, the fundamental assumption about human beings is that they're good fundamentally. We're good at our core, and there's kind of these layers of things we have to work through, but once we work through them, we get to our core, which is goodness. And I mean, the more I was looking at myself, I could see that just clearly wasn't true. And the more I was looking at the world, I could see that clearly wasn't true. And so when the Bible says that we're all fallen, that, you know, we're broken, that we're like sheep without a shepherd, I knew that this is true. This is what no one else is saying, but it's facts. And that really, I ended up, you know, that's what got me sober. And I should also say as well that at this point, at the point where my mentor had introduced me to Jesus, I developed, and that kind of season, that few month period. I mean, this is when my alcoholism was at its worst. I mean, I was like a serious alcoholic. I mean, I was drinking like a litre of whiskey a day by myself, drink driving every night. I mean, I was a complete mess, really. And shortly after the alcoholism got to its worst is when I found Jesus. And literally after years and years of trying, thousands of pounds, thousands of hours, in a few months, I was, you know, sober, and I have been sober ever since. And there's really been like a supernatural deliverance of those addictions. Used to be a serious alcoholic. Now I can kind of be around alcohol, and just the thought about it just doesn't enter my mind. It's something that I would want. And this is something that I literally spent hundreds of hours trying to deal with at the core, at the trauma level, but came up empty, but, you know, Jesus came through.
Thanks, Carl. Thanks for sharing that with us. Some people might relate to your feelings initially, you said at the start, of almost scoffing at the idea of going to the Christian faith or going to the Bible. Just tell us a bit more again about where did you begin with that idea of let me open the Bible and see what it says? What were you finding in the Bible? You've given us a little bit of a glimpse of it. But what was that like to sort of go to the Bible? Where did you go? And how was that persuading you that this was all true?
Yeah, I think fairly quickly came to the truth of it. I mean, just Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, that was probably the most convincing, just his goodness, his character, that, and sin as well, just the truth about sin, that we're all fallen, that was basically the thing that convinced me. And I think another thing as well, looked into considerably more then, and basically seen that evidence on every single level points to the truthfulness of the claims of Jesus in the scriptures. But I think one of the things, basically, I was seeing in my heart how hard it was to be a better person and genuinely care about people more, and I kind of wanted to do that from a self-help angle. And, like, I just knew how difficult that was after trying. And so, kind of researching history and seeing that, like, when there's been grand moral improvements in civilization, inventions of hospitals, treating women better, like all these different areas of life, you know, really go on, the invention of the charity kind of industry, child labor laws, all these different things, that they came from Christians. And the Christians faced a lot of, like, kind of persecution, and people said, what are you doing? And so seeing these kind of moral achievements and improvements, I saw that as, that's clearly supernatural, because it's unbelievably hard to change morally. So to have, throughout history, one religious group of people who have consistently pioneered morally, I just thought this is clearly a supernatural work. And then kind of seeing the Christian influence positively in history more broadly, I was like, this is true.
Great, thanks. My final question to you then is, what is life like now that you've come to know Jesus? You've sort of shown us a bit of it is, in a big way, your sobriety, freedom from your addictions, but just what is life like to live as a Christian, particularly knowing that Jesus has saved you? We kind of thought at the beginning about self-help isn't the thing that has saved, but Jesus has saved you. What is that like to live with that being true for you as a Christian?
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. It truly is. And I mean, the addictions were almost just the start. Like, you know, I really was quite corrupt on every single level. You know, there's so much more I could go into, but there was times of like growing drugs, selling them. There was a whole host of different like arcs of that story. And so like the alcoholism is one thing, but just the changing of my heart. Like, I really wasn't a nice guy. And like God has really just done a supernatural work in changing how I care about other people, how I love other people, my desires in life, even my work ethic, how like my brain fires, like every part of me has transformed in a positive way. And yeah, I guess just being plugged into communities with people that are like-minded as well. But ultimately it's about God and Jesus Christ and His perfection, how enjoyable He is. Like, I often say that, you know, I've done so many different drugs and so many different combinations, you know, like ridiculous kind of feats. And there's these kind of synthetic stimulations and, you know, dopamine rushes that are well over to the extreme. And honestly, I can genuinely say that I can have more joy completely sober just praying to God and realizing how amazing and perfect He is than I have on like the highest drug high. And so that's what a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ looks like. And knowing that I'm saved from hell, which the Bible talks about quite clearly, is great, and that we're going to be in an eternal dwelling place in heaven is also wonderful.
Great. So much to enjoy. Thanks. Thank you, Carl, for sharing your story with us. You're going to hang around a little bit afterwards so people can come and chat to you if they have more questions before you head back to the office. But thank you. I hope you've enjoyed listening to Carl. In lots of ways, all our stories are different, aren't they? But there might have been things that Carl has spoken about that have perhaps resonated with you. Maybe it is some experiences of struggling with grief and pain in the past that we're constantly trying to numb through different ways. Maybe it is that pressure, that burden of trying to be your ideal self, but then finding you're just in cycles of failure and nothing is quite helping you to change. If anything has resonated with you, or you're curious or sceptical about anything that Carl has shared, particularly about the claims about Jesus that he's made, I want to invite you to do something with that scepticism, with that curiosity today from this. You spoke yourself, Carl, about how your scepticism, it led you to a curiosity, an intrigue, that led you to exploring the Christian faith, getting a hold of the story, the life of Jesus, and examining what Jesus said, what he offered to do for the world, to see whether you could be persuaded it was all true, and not just for a phase of life, but actually for the rest of your life. And so I'd love to extend that invitation for you to do the same if you've come today, to ask you the question of, have you ever read the Bible as an adult? Have you ever really considered the stories about Jesus and what he's saying and what he's doing and revealing about himself and what he then offers you through that? And to start that, I'd love you to just quickly grab on your tables these little books. Mine's a white one, yours might be grey and green. And just turn with me to one of the first few pages. In my booklet, it's going to be on page 7, and yours might also be somewhere nearby. This is an account of Jesus' life from Luke's Gospel, one of the historical accounts and records of Jesus' life from the Bible. And I want us to look at verse 77. So if you have a small number 77 on your page, that's where we're looking when you found it. But this is where Luke is introducing us to Jesus in this story. And he describes Jesus as one who will give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. And then a bit further down he says, he'll do this as he gives light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and so to guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus comes to bring this knowledge, this offer of salvation, that will lead us from darkness, from the shadow of death, into light and into peace. And as Carl shared, there are many places we can go looking for peace and for this kind of direction in our lives, aren't there? And maybe if you're experiencing anything like Carl's, finding that they fall short of really saving us from our deeper problem, well, here's my invitation. Why not look for Jesus? Why not take home this copy of Luke's Gospel and keep reading further? As you go through the story, you'll read all about what Jesus said and did to show himself as the one who truly saves us from darkness and from death. And that is through the forgiveness of our sins. And so these books in your hand, they're a free gift from us today to take away with you. Let me invite you, maybe on your journey home, to swap out the Metro or the City paper with this book. Or as you're doom scrolling before you go to sleep, put that aside and pick this up. It wouldn't take you long to read it. And you might just find the knowledge that you need through it. The way to know purpose, meaning and direction. The way to know if there is something more to your life and the world that we live in. The way to know salvation and the forgiveness of sins. the way to know light for those who sit in darkness, the way to know peace. And as we've seen in Carl's story, that is peace that is within ourselves, it's peace with one another, but most importantly, it is peace with God. And so the first step, as Carl shows in his story, would be to read more of the Bible and to examine those claims.